Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dottiglia along with Charlie Long at 545. Steve Geller will join us for our triple option feature, which is now pick six on Tuesdays. I want to tell everybody at 7 o'clock is the Saints Hour with the voice of the Saints, Mike Haas. Guest tonight will be Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis. And Charlie, I was telling you about this, man. We go back a long way. Gary Barbaro, a former NFL safety for the Kansas City Chiefs, played 1 year of high school football at East Jefferson. He was in the band, but played that 1 year, gets a scholarship offer to Nicholls State University, ends up being a third-round pick, 8 years in the National Football League, three-time Pro Bowler. Then the Chiefs didn't want to pay him. They're sort of tight with that cash. So in 1984, he signs with the New Jersey Generals. The owner of that team, President Trump. We weren't president back then, but it was Donald Trump, owned the New Jersey Generals. So Gary Barbaro, and he's not a fashion police guy for Saints games. You see that tall dude on the sidelines? That's Gary Barbaro. Uh-huh. Bob and I always talk about it. Mike, Gary Barbaro, man, he looked like he could still play. And we tell that to Gary. Gary's like, until you see me run. I can't run no more. I can't run no more. But here's a crazy thing about Gary. My dad and I went to see a Nicholls game, Gary's senior year. Mm-hmm. And my dad always liked to get there early. So we're sitting in the stands. There's a guy right behind us. He's got all kind of papers. He's got all kind of folders. Man, he's folding them out, looking at all kind of papers. And my dad turned around and asked him who he was. And he said, well, I'm a scout for the Pittsburgh Steelers, Bill Nunn. And Bill Nunn is in Pro Football's Hall of Fame.
Right.
He got inducted in 2021. He primarily covered the SWAC and the HBCU schools, but he was at Nicholls that day to watch Gary Barbaro. And so, in a funny line, he was like, I just hope he don't go to the Senior Bowl because we'll never get a shot at him.
They wanted him to stay under the radar.
Well, guess what? He went to the Senior Bowl, and he went from probably being a fifth-round pick to a third-round pick, and Bill and the Steelers didn't get a chance to pick him. But first memory of somebody really talking about a Nicholls State player. Come on, the Steelers, they had pieced together some really good teams.
Oh, yeah.
And Bill Nunn's there to scout Gary Barbaro from Nicholls State. And just that comment about, man, I hope he don't get invited to the Senior Bowl because we'll never get a chance to pick him.
What's the comment? Just like, if you can play, they'll find you. I mean, that's always been the case, hasn't it?
So they really were also taking a look at the punter, McGee. Uh-huh. He went to the Senior Bowl, too. But, man, Gary had a great career in the NFL, super dude. And so he'll be on the Saints Hour with Executive Vice President, General Manager Mickey Loomis, along with the voice of the Saints, Mike Haas. And also Jim Miller, former NFL quarterback and current co-host of Moving the Chains on Sirius Radio. Charlie, why don't you keep us a little bit up to date on what's happening in the Major League Baseball playoffs.
All right, Mike, you want me to go chronologically?
Why don't you do that?
Release my sadness about my Astros dropping their opener.
Give it to us. I mean, everybody.
Yeah,
waiting.
No, I mean, so somehow the Tigers decided to lose their final two games to the worst team in baseball history with the White Sox, so the Astros had to play them instead of the Royals, who've been slumping. But, you know, we'll get to the Royals in just a second here. Tarik Skubal, who was the Triple Crown winner in the AL, you know, the most wins, the best record, the most strikeouts, the best ERA. He's been a superstar starting pitcher for the Detroit Tigers all season long. A team, you know, there's always, every year there seems like there's a team of destiny, quote unquote, like a team that's not, you know, supposed to be that great, but they kind of come out of nowhere. This is a Detroit Tiger team that was kind of dead in the water at the midseason. They sold at the deadline, by the way, and then they went on this huge run. They make it to the playoffs. Tarik Skubal's been a big part of their success, and he throws six shutout innings in Houston to help the Tigers take a 3-1 win against the Astros in game one. Basically, Framber Valdez in that game, Mike, the Astros ace, ran into some troubles with command in the second inning. And this is a Detroit Tigers team that's not going to put up a bunch of runs. You can't really help them get on base, because if you do that, that's where they'll hurt you. But the Astros, you know, they make a comeback in the ninth inning. They actually load the bases to potentially either get the game-tying or game-winning hit, but it ends up being a line-out to first base. So the Astros drop game one in the best-of-three series at home to the Detroit Tigers 3-1. Elsewhere, we got the Royals and the Orioles in the other AL wildcard series. We got that up on our TVs right now here, Mike. And we're seeing the Royals with a 1-0 lead over Baltimore, despite, you know, ace Corbin Burns. And whenever you're kind of playing these game ones, specifically the wild card round, you see a ton of aces, right? I mean, Framber Valdez for the Astros and Tarek Skubal for the Tigers, and then Cole Ragans for Kansas City, Corbin Burns for the Orioles. You see the best of the best starting pitchers in the MLB. And with Corbin Burns going into the ninth inning, but he gave up one run, and it was on an RBI single by Bobby Witt Jr., the superstar shortstop for the Kansas City Royals. And that's been the only run scored in this game. Baltimore, who's kind of been slumping, and to be fair, Kansas City hasn't been playing great baseball either. This is a team that's 10-14 in the month of September. Yeah. They were kind of limping into the postseason too. The only reason they really got in there was because the Minnesota Twins completely collapsed. But you're looking at both of these teams weren't playing great, but they still have these wild card spots. It was kind of which team is going to figure it out. So far, it seems like neither team has figured out much at the plate. Granted, they're playing great pitching. But as of now, we're in the top of the ninth, and Kansas City holds a 1-0 lead over Baltimore in Baltimore. So we'll see what happens there. And then the other game, kind of like I was mentioning, you can expect these low-scoring games early on in the wild card round. Does not seem to be the case so far in Milwaukee, where the Mets have a 3-2 lead through two innings. Two great pitchers on the mound there, too, with Luis Severino for the Mets and then Freddy Peralta for the Brewers. But still, New York goes into Milwaukee, holds an early 3-2 lead through two innings there. So we'll keep you updated as the show goes along. Later on tonight, we got the Braves at the Padres. And man, Mike, we kind of talked a little bit about that on the second guest show when we were recapping the final day of the baseball regular season, where the Mets and the Braves played a doubleheader. And had either team swept, they would have eliminated the other team. But they kind of split that series, so both teams are now in the playoffs. So now, if you're the Braves, I was hearing this as well, it's pretty crazy how they had to basically split a series against the Mets and then fly across the country to San Diego and play one of the best teams in baseball. San Diego has had a fantastic year. So that's basically day one of wild card action. As I mentioned, we'll keep you updated. The only game that's gone final so far, the Tigers taking down my Astros 3-1. Houston has potentially a game tomorrow, and if they can force a game three, they'll see if they can move on in the American League series and head to the divisional series where they would play the Cleveland Guardians, Mike.
We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 NFL Talk with Odyssey NFL insider Mark Slareff right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long. And on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, we're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Mark Slareff, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. Mark, thanks so much for joining us. And, man, you got to see it again. The kid. And he don't look like no rookie, Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, he is awesome. What a great kid. So much fun to talk to. You know, so much fun to discuss football with. And you know, it's funny, I meet with Cliff Kingsbury about 7:30 Saturday morning. So I'm sitting in the little conference room they have for us at their hotel. And Cliff said, you know, I was just asking him about, you know, about Jaden. And he goes, yeah, dude, this guy is just like, reps. All he wants to do is study football, just like the first guy. And he goes, I'm sitting in my office this morning at 5:30, and, you know, at 5:30, kind of grinding on some tape, and here comes Jaden. Like, what are you doing? What are you working on? Like, he is just that locked into football and what he wants to accomplish and the way he prepares and studies. And I think one of the most amazing things for me is just watching him on film from week one to week four, and, you know, studying the first 3 weeks of the season. I had him in week four calling the game, but, like, you can see dramatic improvement in just the way he wants to operate, the way he throws the football, where he's trying to go with it. And then the biggest thing was, you know, there were several times in the first two games where he took off because he could, not because he had to, but because he could. And you really don't see that anymore. Like, he has looked at that. He has fixed that. He is like, oh, no, if the throw is there, I'm going to take the throw always before I take the scramble. And it's just been an amazing progression to sit and talk to coaches and study the film and just watch this kid continue to go, you know, leaps and bounds and get better every single approach or every single game.
Mark, I was telling this to Bob. I remember late in the season last year, and I brought up to you about maybe quarterbacks that you could look for in free agency. And you immediately said, you know, you had talked to the people with the 49ers, and they really were high on Sam Darnold. They thought Sam was legit. that he could be a legit starting quarterback in the NFL. He signs on with the Vikings only because Kirk Cousins took that money and went to Atlanta. And I get that. Nothing wrong with being a capitalist there. You got to take that dough. And when Sam signed, he knew they were going to pick a quarterback. And, okay, they picked McCarthy, and then he goes down with the injury. But you were the first guy that I remember on this station that said, hey, I was talking to the 49er coaches. They think Sam Darnold can be the guy. Look what he's done in the first quarter of this season.
Yeah, he's been amazing. And, you know, his story is really amazing because, like, where you get drafted and the position you get put in is important. And so he gets drafted with the New York Jets, and they had a guy by the name of Jeremy Bates who worked exclusively with Peyton Manning. And so when he got drafted to the Jets, here he's a rookie coming out of USC, and they want to make him operate the Peyton Manning offense. And so Kyle Shanahan tells me, well, there's one person in the world that could operate the Peyton Manning offense. It was Peyton Manning. it's ridiculous. So, like, what are you going to do, right? So he's operating this offense that he has no business operating. So he can't get that done, doesn't really realize that. They give up on him. They ship him out to Carolina, and now he's operating Matt Rule's college offense. And so he operates that for a while, a time until Matt Rule gets fired. And so it was year four, the defense coordinator took over as the head coach. And Bob McAdoo
Ben McAdoo.
Yeah, Ben McAdoo. It takes over as the offensive coordinator, okay? And so he takes over, and it's the first time, it's year four, about 8 weeks into the season, that Sam Darnold's actually in a progression-based offense, like a real NFL offense. So he had never learned, you know, what every other quarterback in the league essentially learns. And so when he went to San Francisco, you know, he had offers to go other places for more money. And he said, no. He goes, I'm going to come to San Francisco and learn how to play quarterback. I want to be tutored. And they said, hey, you got no chance to compete with Purdy, but you can compete with Trey Lance. He goes, that's good enough for me. I just want to learn. And so he spent this whole year going through this, you know, basically this audition and learning the offense. And, you know, and Kyle just raved about his approach. And he just told me flat out, like, this kid can play, man. Like, we'd like to keep him, but he's going to get big money. And sure enough, he goes out and gets big money. He's been lights out. He's been everything that Kyle told me was. He's been everything. I had conversation. I had two 20, 30-minute conversations with him over the last 2 weeks of the season. And, like, him admitting all the things he didn't know about football and how excited he was to get another opportunity to resurrect his career. So I couldn't be happier for him, man. It's a great story.
Insider Calls with Mark Schlereff are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season.
So, Mark, real quick, I want to stay with Minnesota because I think they're one of the premium stories early on this season. It's been really fascinating to follow. You know, we talked about the potential resurgence of Sam Darnold and comparing it to someone like Baker Mayfield, right? A guy that was a very high draft pick that didn't necessarily – and I don't want to say Baker didn't work out in Cleveland, but he bounced around a little bit early on in his career, and then he kind of found a landing spot. And that seems to be what happened with Sam as well. And he's been shining. But also the defense for the Vikings has been great. I know that they kind of – took the foot off the gas pedal a little bit in the second half against Jordan Love and the Packers in Green Bay, and they let him back into that game. But what Brian Flores is doing with that unit, because that was my biggest concern about Minnesota, that's why I didn't really anticipate them being nearly as good as they are, was the defensive side of the ball. When you get rid of like DJ Wonnum and Daniil Hunter, who go to Carolina and Houston respectively, you're losing a lot of sack production. And then we're 4 weeks through the season, and look where they are right now. I know that Brian Flores loves to blitz, but they're leading the league in sacks with 17 through 4 weeks. So I think the defensive side of the ball for Minnesota has been just as fascinating to follow, especially what Brian Flores is doing with that unit.
One thing I know, Brian Flores can coach defense.
I think he's going to be a head coach again before.
He can coach defense.
No, it's not going to take too long for him to get another head coaching opportunity.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. And Brian is a really fine football coach. There's no question about it. And they are so uber aggressive in what they do, and they do such a great job of attacking their opponents and really attacking protections and putting you in a bind. And, you know, the thing about him is he just understands what you're trying to do as an offense. I mean, he's got it figured out. And so he knows exactly how to attack it. And then from just an ID standpoint, meaning how do I ID this defense? What are they in? Who do I have to block? All those things. Man, they do things that are just on the surface really unsound looking. But they know exactly what they're doing. They're so dialed in together that they make it work. They always hit their landing spots. As a defense, they've got great spatial awareness, knowing exactly where they're supposed to drop. And they do it like they can have a guy on the line of scrimmage and he's playing the deep third. Like, you know, a deep middle third. And you're like, how do you guys do that? And that guy's getting his 26 yards of depth or whatever it is. I mean, it's crazy. And so they do a really good job of basically showing you a pre-snap picture and being in something totally unexpected post-snap. And I'm telling you, he's a phenomenal football coach, and they do a great job of getting edges and getting their players in one-on-one situations. And then ultimately, your players have to win. When you design it so they get their one-on-one opportunities, you got to beat your one-on-ones. And they've done that consistently throughout this season so far.
Mark, Monday night, Saints play the Chiefs. Listen, I think the Saints and Chiefs, I think that'll be a really close game. And watching the Chiefs in the four games, they're winning very eerily similar to a year ago to start the season on defense. Man, their defense is really good, and they squeeze you every which way but loose. Offensively, when you lose your two starting receivers, Hollywood Brown goes down before the season starts. And then with Rashee Rice, we haven't had official word, but doesn't look like he's going to play anytime soon. And you lose Isaiah Pacheco at running back. Travis Kelce, he's in the winter years of his NFL career. While he still is a good player, they've sort of changed offensively for not him being the focal point in the passing game. I think the Saints got a real shot here. I know it's on the road against the Chiefs, and they are the defending champs, and they 4-0, and you are what your record says you are. But that's got to be the ugliest 4-0 I've seen in NFL in quite some time.
Yeah, especially with the Chiefs. I mean, I think Mahomes has got 5 picks in 4 games, and you know, and obviously, like you mentioned, all the just change on the offensive side of the ball, and yet the thing that makes them so incredibly good and so incredibly difficult is their gotta-have-it moments. And in their gotta-have-it moments, they make it happen. Whether that's Mahomes leading them to a last-second TD drive, whether that's the defense coming up with a sack or a strip fumble or an interception, you know, whether it's a special teams play that they got to have, they just have it in the gotta-have-it moments. Their kicker needs to kick a 56-yarder, bam, just pipes it right down the middle. Like, whatever it is at the end of a game when they gotta have it or the end of a half, they find a way to get that done. And they're better at that than any other team in football. They just believe that they're going to make the play. And so they operate. When they walk into a stadium, they already have a psychological advantage. We know how to win close games. We know we will win close games. We know we'll make the play when, you know, the game is on the line. And they play that way every week. And every week so far this season, the other team has had an opportunity to squeeze them around the throat and choke them out, and nobody's been able to do it. Every game they've played, I think they've won 4 games, and I think their total point differential is 20 in 4 games. I mean, you know, they're winning 4 or 5 points a game. It's like it is – every game is a tight one-score game. And you know what? They just figure out a way to win it. So the Saints have just got to clean up. Like the game against Atlanta, I thought they were the better team against Atlanta. They give up the muff punt for a touchdown. They had another – did they have a
pick six
for a touchdown? Yeah, so, you know, I mean, I look at that game and I thought they were the better team when I watched the game. I thought, you know, they were both defensively and offensively the better team. They just made a couple of gaffes that cost them that game. And, you know, that's the things that, you know, that will raise up and cost them a game in Kansas City if they can't clean that stuff up, because I guarantee you Kansas City will make those plays. Kansas City will find a way to win a game. And, you know, ultimately for the New Orleans Saints, man, they've got to be clean. They've got to be physical. They've got to dominate time of possession. And you can't give the ball back in a one-score game to the Chiefs with a chance to win it, like with a chance to win it or tie it with the ones, because they will. So you got to have, you know, you got to be up 10 points when they get the ball back with 47 seconds. Like, that's what it's got to be. So we'll see if they can do that. But I still think the Saints are one of the better teams I've watched. You know, I really do. I just, you know, unfortunately they've lost the last couple of games, but I still think they're a really good team.
You just can't really spot a team 14 points, and that's what it comes down to, Mark. Because I agree with you. I think they were the better team in Atlanta, but, you know, the pick six and then the muff punt, it's just – it's a killer. And that was not really an issue for them early on. They were one of the better teams as far as turnover differential, but minus one, and that ends up being the difference. And I think that's going to be a key in this game as well. You got to be in the plus on the turnover margin against a team like Kansas City, which, as you mentioned, you know, Mahomes has had some turnover issues early on this season, so we'll see what happens there. My last question for you, obviously the big news today about Davante Adams officially kind of requesting a trade from the Las Vegas Raiders. Mike and I talked about this last week, and I'm pretty sure we mentioned it with you as well. The comments that Antonio Pierce had made about business decisions, you know, a lot of people kind of perceive that as a slight at Davante Adams. Now he's officially asked for a trade from Las Vegas. We had, you know, a list of teams, basically the 31 teams, their kind of odds for landing someone like Davante. We've also seen kind of the general price tag that it would take to get someone like him in a trade. It's a second round pick plus some. But where do you think he kind of ends up, and what's kind of your thoughts on the latest with this situation?
Yeah, I'm not sure where he would end up. I mean, obviously, everybody would probably speculate the Jets would be, you know, would be where they would want him. And the connection he had, you know, with Aaron Rodgers all those years, those two guys, they were absolutely incredible together. And, you know, it was Aaron that told me, hey, listen, man, I let the scheme take me where the scheme takes me on first and second down. But when I need a conversion on third down, there ain't one guy, only one guy I'm throwing to, and that's Davante Adams. So they were super connected, and Devontae's a really smart player, really understands defense, understands leverage, understands coverages, so he can communicate those things, even standing out there in a split to his quarterback with an eye, you know, flick or a hand motion or whatever. So that one makes the most sense. Now, will that happen? I have no idea. But listen, if you have the cap space and you need a premier wide receiver, I would think for Davante Adams, though, I mean, he's going to want to go somewhere that has a legitimate quarterback. So that would eliminate, you know, probably half the league right there. So it'll be interesting to see exactly what happens. But, boy, I tell you what, that guy can flat play.
Mark, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate it. What game you got this weekend?
I'm off this weekend. Oh, okay. I'm going to go see the grandkids, so I don't have a game this weekend.
Awesome. Mark, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon, man. Always great work. We appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, Mark.
Appreciate you guys. Take care.
All righty. That was Odyssey NFL Insider Mark Schlereff, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. When we come back, be pick six for us here on Triple Option, right here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long, Steve Geller, it's our Triple Option feature, and it's pick six, so Charlie, set it up.
Well,
how are you doing?
I think last week went pretty, pretty well for me, gentlemen.
About time, right?
Roll Tide. That's what I have to say about that. Shout out to Joe in the traffic center. Roll Tide. Absolutely.
And Dan,
5-1 week.
And Dan Barron.
The one thing that happened that went wrong for me was the Packers. And the Packers still almost came back and won that game. So, you know, I'll take it. Notre Dame covered the 6 points. Tulane, you know, that went great. Bama plus two, Falcons, the Bucks, and the Packers. The Packers are the only team that tripped me up. I had a 5-1 week, so I took the lead at 14-10. Ooh. Mike, you had a 3-3 week. Bobby and Steve, you each had 2-4 weeks. So, resetting the standings here real quick. I'm 14-10. Mike, you are 12-12. Bobby and Steve are each 10-14. We're moving on to week six of college football and week five of NFL action.
All right.
Guys, it wasn't a great kind of slate to pick from for college football week six. We've got a couple decent games. Obviously, no LSU this weekend. Tulane opens as like 14.5 points against UAB. And we talked with Coach Summerall, and he said that, you know, the Blazers are a tougher team than probably people are giving them credit for, especially that record 1-3. But We have two SEC contests that we're picking this week, and we're going to start out with the top 25 matchup. Number 9 Missouri travels to face number 25 Texas A&M. The Aggies open as 2-point favorites, and Bobby will start this one off. He's got Missouri plus 2.
I do also. I'll take Missouri.
I've got Texas A&M this one, guys. I think I just think they got some bigger hosses on that side, and I like them at home, given the two.
So I picked A&M at home as a favorite against Notre Dame, and that really bit me in the behind. I still like some of A&M's players, but Missouri, like, okay, here's the thing with Missouri, is that Brady Cook.
You're picking them or what, John?
Yeah, I'm picking them. But Mike, like, Brady Cook in that Missouri offense, like, they've been there, done that. I know they had a little bit of struggles with Vanderbilt recently, but give me Mizzou, because you're looking at their schedule. If they win this game, I mean, guys, you can make an argument this Mizzou team goes 11-1. Their only game left on the schedule that's tough is at Alabama. So, you know, I think this is potentially, I don't want to say sealing a potential playoff berth for this team if they can win this one, because anything can happen in the SEC week to week. But it's gigantic. I think they realize how gigantic it is. Give me Missouri plus 2 here. And then we have the other SEC game, Ole Miss coming off a stunner against Kentucky this past weekend at home in Oxford. They open as 9-point favorites on the road against South Carolina, guys.
I'm going with Ole Miss. I think it's bounce back week. We've seen South Carolina. They don't really excite you much on the offensive side of football. That front four now is really good defense.
Right, exactly.
Really, really good. But LSU carved them up throwing the ball. I'm going with Ole Miss. Bounce back week for Lane Kiffin and Jackson Dart.
I'm right with you there, Mike, actually, because I think that the offense of Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin going to rebound in a big way against South Carolina, who, like, they do have a solid defense, but I just think the Rebels' attack is going to come really hard this one.
You know, I don't want to say Ole Miss is going to be looking ahead to that game in Death Valley the week after. I'm taking South Carolina to cover it. The point spread is just too big.
It is pretty big.
Listen, Ole Miss, I don't want to say the formula was put out there to how to beat them when they lost to Kentucky.
Right.
But I really, as you mentioned, Mike, I really do like, you know, South Carolina's front defensively. It's as if they can keep it close. Like, I don't think they're going to win this game by any stretch of the imagination. But within 9 points, yeah, give me South Carolina here. Moving on to NFL Week 5, guys. We got Thursday Night Football. The Bucs at the Falcons. Atlanta opens as 1.5-point favorites. Real quick, actually, I don't think I mentioned this. Bobby's also got Ole Miss minus 9. So I'm actually standing alone with South Carolina. Hopefully that works out for me. It might not. We'll have to see. But the Bucs at the Falcons. Atlanta opens as 1.5-point favorites on Thursday night.
I am going with the Bucs here. I don't still believe in the Falcons. Even after that game against the Saints, they were gifted 14 points in that matchup. It shouldn't have been as close, and I just think the Bucs are a team that are rolling right now, and see them winning in Atlanta and covering.
I'm with you, and so is Bobby. So, Mike, are you picking the Falcons here?
Hell no. I'm going with the Bucs. The Bucs are a beat-up football team, especially at wide receiver. I think they'll figure out a way to win it, and, man, you look at they do it sometimes sort of ugly, but they win. And you got to get Baker Mayfield. We talk about Sam Darnold.
Yeah, wait a minute. Charlie, you said you were taking Falcons?
No, I'm taking the Bucks.
No, okay, he ain't taking no Falcons.
Okay. Steve, you're taking the Bucks too?
Yeah, but I got Bucks.
Yeah, we all got the Bucks.
Clean sweep, because Bobby's got them as well. Listen, with the Bucks and the Falcons, you can make the argument just as simply as you could with the Saints potentially being 3-1 or 4-0, that the Falcons could be 0-4 this season.
Man.
And they haven't played well at home, by the way. Like, they were 0-2
and
that game
Kansas
against the Saints.
City.
Yeah, but still, I mean,
They could have,
but they shouldn't have beaten the Saints, and they shouldn't have beaten the Eagles. I mean, this is a team that's not playing great football. They are not clicking yet.
Watch how you talk about them Eagles.
They don't know how to close.
A Jersey boy here. You don't know nothing about the real world.
Yeah. So I'm going with the Bucs here as well, guys. Up next, we got a AFC showdown. The Bills, 1-point favorites at the Texans.
Good Houston. Game. Good game.
Yeah, no, for sure. This is one of the premier matchups. Bobby's got the Bills minus 1 on the road, guys.
I'm with the Cajun Cannon on this one. I think Josh Allen is rolling right now. Like what I'm seeing off of the Bills, they look like they've got it together. And Texans at home, I don't know how that home field advantage quite is over there, but give me the Buffalo Bills. They're rolling right now.
The Texans had a really weird game this past weekend against Jacksonville, where they very easily could have lost that game. And this is a Jacksonville team that is in the gutters. And I know that it's a divisional game, so anything can really happen in those matchups. But give me the Bills here too, Steve. I'm going with Buffalo. I think that game against, you know, Baltimore Sunday night,
right,
was kind of fluky. Like, yes, they did not play a good game at all. They're dealing with some
injuries. They're still trying to tackle Derrick Henry.
That is very much true. But Lamar in primetime just seems to kill it in Baltimore. So, you know, they were always probably going to lose that game. Give me Buffalo with a bounce back here.
Going with the Texans, CJ Stroud.
All righty. And moving on, we got Sunday Night Football, the Cowboys at the Steelers. Pittsburgh is 2.5-point favorites at home.
Can I guess Bobby's pick?
Well, you could probably guess it, and you would probably be right.
I'm going with the Steelers. There is a formula to beat the Cowboys. It's about the running game and pressure on the quarterback. Guess what the Steelers do pretty good? They run the ball, and they get after the quarterback. Give me the Steelers.
I'm with you to bring out my terrible towel for this one. I like Justin Fields staying at the QB spot, too, not going to Russell Wilson in this matchup. And the Steelers just, I think they're a much more competent team right now. I don't know what's going on with the Dallas Cowboys.
Guys, what's going on? This is our second clean sweep of NFL action. I got the Steelers minus 2.5.
We're doomed this
week. That ain't good.
Yeah, it's not good at all. It means the Cowboys are going to win on Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, that's what I was
and then, wrapping up everything, guys, we got Monday Night Football, the Saints at the Chiefs. Kansas City opens.
Easy for me.
5-point favorites at home.
I'll take the Saints in the 5.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm actually going with Saints getting the 5 here, too.
What are we doing?
The Saints have played in so many close games. They're not getting blown out by anybody.
And the Chiefs, offensively, unless the Saints help them. Come on, this should be a close game between these two teams. I'm not saying the Saints are going to go to Kansas City and win, but I think this is a razor-tight game.
Yeah, I could see this being a 3-4-point type game as well. Just too much. 5 points, a little too rich for my blood. I'll take that for the Saints.
You guys know who Bobby's taking in this game. I mean, that's who I was taking, too. This is crazy. We have 3 straight sweeps with the Bucs, Steelers, and the Saints here. I see it the same way you guys do. It just feels like without Rashee Rice, like, who is Kansas City throwing the ball to? Or are they just going to spam, you know,
Xavier
Worthy?
Even worse, no Pacheco.
Yeah, no Pacheco exactly. In the rushing attack, too.
So I can do stuff, okay, in the back end to sort of take away Kelsey. And Worthy, man, I play physical with him.
I am worried about Kelsey in this matchup, though. Big, hulking type tight end.
He's
not the
washed.
Same as Kyle Pitts. I don't think he's totally washed, though.
I think he's kind of washed.
I don't say totally, but he's lost a step, right. He's in late November and December of his career. And you can tell, and I think the Chiefs know it. They've gotten away from pumping him the ball a lot. You see a lot more of their backup tight ends and them trying to get to the receivers.
They
downfield.
Seem to try to be feeding them last game.
So you understand Andy Reid and Mahomes knows that better than anybody.
Right.
I mean, that's it. I don't know, guys. I think that the one issue, we talked with Schlereth about this, the Chiefs shine in clutch moments. So if the Saints kind of find themselves in that tight game against Kansas City, I mean, you kind of expect Kansas City to come out just because the Saints haven't proven that they can win those tight games yet this year. However, I do think that they keep it close. I think that they cover the spread. It's within 5 points, but we'll see what happens there.
I'd love to be at this one, guys. It's one of those stadiums I have not been to, Arrowhead Stadium.
You
want to
hear that story? Let Lady Bear tell you.
Uh-oh.
Even during pregame warm-ups, he said it was deafening. Because they go early and, you know, they have a good time. They eat their barbecue and everything, have a good time. But then they go sit early. And he said, Mike, I'm doing jumping jacks and all. They got people screaming and holler. I can't even talk to somebody. Now, if he can't talk to somebody on the field, we got issues. So that's just the way it is. We'll be back. We're finishing up here on hour number 2 of Sports Talk right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Finishing up here in hour number 2 of Sports Talk on the Big 870. I want to thank our Odyssey NFL insider, Mark Schlereth. Always great stuff from Mark. And 6 o'clock hour at 625, old friend of ours here at the station, Chris Dotson, who covers the Pelicans in the NBA for Clutch Points, talking about the Pels, their media day yesterday, and certainly their first preseason game coming up Monday. We'll have much more sports talk here on the Big 870 WWL right after this news break.